This morning, as we start this workshop, Shout to the Lord, I want you to think about something. I'm going to challenge you on these next two Sundays while we have this going today and then next Sunday. We're going to do a little bit of heart surgery, and we're going to hopefully work on our heart and start working in such a way to maybe, you know, cut off some of the pieces of the heart that around it that we don't need and try and draw our hearts actually closer to God. And this is what I want you to think about, because what we're talking about keys for transforming our song worship to heart worship. Everyone in here knows how to sing. That's not an issue. Whether your pitch is on, whether your pitch is off, everyone has the ability to sing. But oftentimes it's hard for us when we talk about the heart worship, allowing the heart to actually move with the music. And so what I want to do is, during this series, I just want to show you the way that God has created us and the way that God has created music in such a way that if we use all those tools that God has given us, and if we use those tools that He's given us the way that He's designed us, our song worship can be transformed and elevated to a level that I think becomes even more pleasing to God. So this is what I want you to think about. You know, it's very interesting when we look at the Bible. And we think about the longest book in the Bible is a book of Psalms. It's music. And had you ever wondered, why do you think that God thinks that that's important? Why would God think it important for the longest book in the Bible to be about Psalms? Songs. Why? It's very interesting when we think about heaven. The one activity, at least that we see, that takes place in heaven is that they're singing. So it must have some type of importance to God and the way that He created music in order for us to focus on it. Will we continue to read scriptures in prayer in heaven? I have no idea, because we'll be there. The truth will be there. I can ask God any question that I wanted to. But there's one thing that we do know, that we continually will sing truth throughout all of eternity. Now, when you start thinking about that perspective, I'm hoping you start to appreciate a little bit more music in the way that God has created it. And there's even a scripture that talks about how God rejoices over each and every one of us, or sings over us. Music, singing is important. Now, Psalm 139, verses 14 through 15, it's going to kind of be, if you want to call it, the text for this whole thing when we talk about God, music, and science. What if God created science? I want you to think about that. Now, for us, we say, yeah, He created science, because everything that He created, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, quadratic formula over 4ABC, all those things that we discover, what we believe that God created them. But there's something a little bit more when we think about science and when we think about the way that God has created us. In Psalm 139, in verses 14 through 15, it says, I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works, and my soul knows it very well. My soul, my heart knows it. My frame was not hidden from You when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. You know, a lot of times when I'm coaching with people and they're dealing with low self-esteem, I take them to this verse. I say, you know what? I don't care what anyone says about you. The Lord says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. When we talk about the way that God has created us and created music and for us to respond to it, you need to realize that you are fearfully made. So here's my question. If science reveals God's wonder of music, how is it going to affect your song worship? When you learn some of these things, how is it going to affect your song worship? Are you going to be even more appreciative that you have the opportunity to sing? Sometimes people are like, oh, you know, I don't want to sing. When you find out what God gives you by allowing you to sing, will it change you? That's what we're going to talk about. So what did God create music to do? Have you guys ever listened to a piece of music that you enjoy? What happens to your body? Yeah, you start moving your head a little bit, right? Yeah, you start bopping it around, right? When Taylor Swift comes on, what do you guys start doing? Why is that? Well, this is what happens when music starts going into the brain. The pupils of your eyes start to dilate. They start getting bigger, start getting bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, right? Your pulse and your blood pressure starts to rise. You can just be sitting there doing nothing, and this is what happens. The electroconduance of your skin is lowered. That means you start sweating. Just by music, music that you enjoy. The cerebellum, which is a part of the brain which is associated with bodily movement, starts to activate inside of you. Have you ever noticed kids? You can put them down, you can just turn some music on, and they never seen anything. They go. And you're like, where did you learn that from? And they're just bouncing up and down. Why? Because God created the body in such a way that when music enters and goes into, the body starts to do things. Do you know that when music goes into your ears, the brain tells the blood to start moving to your legs? Have you ever noticed when you're singing, sometimes you start tapping your feet and you're not even thinking about it? Why is that? Because God has created music in your body in such a way, when it goes in, things start to activate. It starts to move your muscles. And then, of course, it goes to the limbic system, the emotion. And so this is where emotional arousal takes place. When God created music and he created a beautiful, wonderful thing to be paired together. What did God create music to do? You ever sing a song or hear a song and you get chills running down? You're like, oh. You ever sing any songs here and you're like, oh, that song just felt so powerful. What was going on when I was singing that song? Music triggers in the body, especially if it's happy music, dopamine. Now, does everyone know what dopamine is, right? Okay, if you don't, just think of anybody here like the bungee jump or roller coasters. That feeling you get, woo! That's the adrenaline and dopamine that's being released in your body. God has created music in such a way that when you sing, your body is releasing those neurotransmitters and neurochemicals in your body, in your brain, to flood you, to give you bliss. Wow. He's rewarding you for singing to him on a physiological perspective. Music was created to make you feel, to allow you to feel, to allow you to express. And God's like, look, sing this song for me. Look, you know, while you're singing this song to me, you can connect with me spiritually. While you're singing this song to me, these endorphins and things will be released in your body, and you're going to feel great too at the same time. Because I created you that way. Is Jeff here? Jeff, what's my favorite Kirk Franklin song that you know of? Lean on Me? Yes, Lean on Me. Why? Why is that song? Here's the lyrics to the song. Now, the reason the song is precious to me, because that first verse of the song, there's a man standing on the corner who has no home, he has no food, and his blue skies are gone. Can you hear him crying out? I used to be homeless. I used to be homeless. I know what it feels like to be homeless. I know what it's like to sleep under a bridge. I can tell you how to stuff your newspaper if you need to make sure that you stay warm. The reason the song means so much to me, because then at the bottom it says, I am here, you don't have to worry. I can see your tears. I'll be there in a hurry when you call. Friends are there to catch you when you fall. Here's my shoulder to lean on. Lean on me. During that time in my life, God was the only thing that I had to hold on to. It was the only thing I had to hold on to. And it was the one thing that kept me going, because I knew there was going to be a brighter day. Right? Music is important because what it does, it allows us to express that. So here, what is your reaction when a song that we sing causes you to feel? Do you just shut it down? I can't feel that. I'm not supposed to feel. How do you respond when it's outwardly expressed? Do we shut it down? The reason I'm saying that is because God has created us in such a way where he wants us to express the emotion and the feeling in our singing, right? It doesn't mean that I have to jump up and down all in the aisles, but it means I need to take that emotion that's there and it needs to be contagious. You need to be able to see it. I mean, you need to be able to hear it in each and every one. What God created music to do. Now I'm going to take you to 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 24. And I'm going to show you the way that we talk about how God created music. It said, "Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman, he went up on the roof of the gate by the wall. And when he lifted up his eyes, he looked and he saw a man running alone. And the watchman called out and told the king. And the king said, 'If he is alone, there is news in his mouth.' And he drew near and nearer. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called to the gate and said, 'See, another man is running alone.' And the king said, 'He also brings news.' And behold, the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, 'Good news for my lord the king. For the Lord has delivered you this day from the hand of all those who rose up against you.' And the king," this is David, "said to the Cushite, 'Is it well with the young man Absalom?' The Cushite answered, 'May the enemies of the Lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be like that young man.'" So David gets the news that his son Absalom has been dead. He's been slain. He's killed. And the king was deeply moved, and he went up into the chamber, went over the gate, and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would it that I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." Now, I don't know if anyone in here has ever lost a child, especially a grown child. You bring them up through all those years. But what would that feel like? See, a lot of times we just read that verse and we're like, okay, David was king and he was deeply moved and he wept over, okay, Absalom, Absalom. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you the power of music. So this is an a cappella song. It's called When David Heard. No instruments at all. And here are the lyrics. It's just that one verse. And I just want you to listen to it. It's 20 minutes long, but I'm only going to play the first 5 minutes, just so you get it. This is what I want you to focus on. If this verse forever now will change you when you read it, because of the way that you heard it sung, the power of music. When you hear that song, can you feel David's pain? My son, I'm gonna bring that up just a little bit later because I'm hoping, like I said, that now that's gonna change a little bit because we're gonna take that and relate that to something else. Now that song was done in a minor chord, right? And so your body actually will react because it's sung at a certain frequency or megahertz, because that's how God created the body to react. It's interesting when we look at psychology and we look at the major issues and things that people deal with, and many of the dysfunctions that people deal with as we do studies and they continue to do studies, it's often that they don't allow themselves to feel. And it's one of the reasons they're walking around with many of the issues that they have. God created emotions and feelings as a purging system. And when you continue to hold everything in, it starts to wreak havoc actually on the body. And it's interesting when you go to Psalm and David is talking about his sin and his transgressions and holding all the things in. When you go through that passage, he even talks about how his body is wasting away. And because he's holding these things in, we also know from a physiological perspective what's going on. Cortisol is rushing through the body, right? So that means your heart rate is continually going, your adrenal glands are burning out. Your body is actually wasting away because you're not allowing the expression of what needs to be expressed. How important is that? But sometimes we just take the idea of kind of the Western mentality, oh, just suck it up, be a man, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Let me ask you this. Is that what you would have said to Jesus as he was in the garden? As he allowing his heart and his emotions to be poured out? See, we think of Jesus as the man of mans. We think of him as being the masculine man, the hombre machísimo. But how many of us would say, you know what? Adam, Jeff, Tommy, AR, come and watch me have a breakdown. Would you say that to your friends? Come and watch me pour my emotions. Oh, I want you to be there to experience it with me. But, oh, no, not me. I'm strong. Pull myself up by my own bootstraps. God created music in a way that allows us to be able to express that emotion. Now, I'm going to tail in on the lesson that I gave last time when we talked about David being a man after God's own heart. And I want you to remember when we talked about that lesson, we said, well, one of the reasons that David is called a man after God's own heart is because the way in which he expresses himself, right? Because not everything that David does is a man after God's own heart. But when he shows mercy to his enemies like Saul, that's a man after God's own heart. When he expresses the anger and the injustice and unfairness when Nathan tells him the story, that's after God's own heart. So what if David's heart were reflective of the Father's heart? Sinless Jesus, his loving son, dies for the sins of the world. I want you to just think about that. Because have you ever thought about when Christ is on the cross, what does the Father feel? Oftentimes we don't go there. Now if you just think about that song and if you just think about those words, can you feel and understand if the Father, when Jesus is on the cross, my son, dying for the sins of the world, my son hasn't done anything wrong. See, I get a little taste of that just from what David says about his son, the Father. So are you going to tell the Father, oh, you know what, it's no big deal. Don't be grieved at your only son going through what he's going through. Or is even the Father allowed to express the emotions of his heart? All right, so now let's talk a little bit about right brain and left brain and how we are created. So science has discovered that when the left side of the brain is stimulated by a song, it's usually a song that's sung in minor chords. So when we sing songs that are reflective, we sing songs that are sad, we sing songs that are lamenting, that are in minor chords, that's what it goes inside the brain and that's what it does. And your body actually reacts to that. And so you become a little bit more reflective, a more contemplative or lamenting or sorrow. The right side of the brain is stimulated by happy music, which is usually in major chords, right? And so that's when we get that rush or the dopamine rush that comes in or the adrenaline. So this morning, do you think the songs that I start off were minor chords or major chords? Major. They were major chords, right? Right, that's okay. They were major chords, right? Because when we came in here, what I wanted you to be there before the throne. I wanted you to be Israel because you are spiritual Israel. And I wanted you to feel that. And so I specifically picked major chord song because I knew that whatever 439 megahertz and 639 would go into your brain, bam. And then that would create what you needed. So music stimulates the brain. Dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin. Do you know that science has seen that when we sing together, that our brain releases oxytocin? Oxytocin is what we call the cuddle hormone, the bonding hormone. It's the hormone that is released and women's bodies are flooded after they give birth, right? Because after you pop that thing out, you need to have some bonding. So God created your body in such a way that after all that hard labor, you're like, oh, you're so beautiful. God created your body to do that. But here's the other thing. When we sing together, he created our bodies to also release that same thing. And so we feel like we're one. We feel like we're united because oxytocin is flooding through our system because that's the way that God created the music. All right, so now we're going to test this a little bit. And I know we know this song already, but now we're going to add a different element to it, or at least we've talked a couple of times here. So this is a song in a minor key. Father, we have sinned. You're going to listen to it once. Okay, listen to it once. And first of all, I want you to notice what do you feel, what do you react in your body. Started the songs off with love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. So now we're giving you this. So love the Lord your God, and the word there is Elohim, which is interesting. The love the Lord your God, which is Father, Son, and Spirit, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Goes back to the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, Elohim, God's created the heavens and the earth. All three were there, all three created. A lot of times when we talk about worshiping God, a lot of times our mind just focuses on the Father, and we kind of drop the other two. We drop Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is kind of just a third wheel flying around. But all of them are God. And so have you ever thought about the concept of, I need to love them all, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, and all my strength. Everything. But you were created with the ability to do that, to give all, to do heart worship. What I want to do is I want to give you a skill that quickly brings you back into that all heart mode. You know, because sometimes the kids and stuff are acting up, right, and you've got to attend to them, and you've got to pick, and that kind of moves your mind somewhere else. But I want to show you something that what you can do is once you put them back down, whoosh, you can go right back into the all heart mode. So this is what we're going to do. Music utilizes three lobes of your brain. Now there's four, it utilizes three lobes, okay? So the frontal, the parietal, and the temporal. And there's one that's not used when you're singing unless you activate it. And when you activate it, then what it means is now all four lobes of your brain are activated and you're giving him everything that you got. And that's the occipital lobe. The occipital lobe is the visual processing part of your brain. And when you engage that part of the brain, now you are singing with everything that's activated that God has given you. So it's like, okay, well, how do we do that? In order to activate the occipital lobe, you have to visualize the song. You have to create the word pictures in your mind. That's what we're going to do. When we do this, this help takes us to the awe state, because now all four lobes are firing and you're giving everything that you have, that you've been given from a physical perspective and spiritual, hopefully, that are going to be poured into that song. So Father, we have sinned. What we're gonna do is we're gonna make this a personal conversation. Personal conversation with God. I want you to think of specific examples and word pictures for your life. A lot of times you notice when I'm up leading, maybe I might be looking at the screen and I'm not, you're like, how is it that you don't need a songbook for many of those? It's because I have word pictures going through my mind as I'm communicating this song to God and to you. That's what's coming up for me. So here we go. So this is why I want you to think. Anyone made any mistakes in here in the past week? Anybody here sinned in the past week? Okay, I have. Okay, so the first verse, whatever it is, whatever you failed in, Father, we have sinned. I want you to just think about, man, or something I did, whatever this week. So it may have been in word, it might have been in deed, something I didn't do, or maybe in thought. Okay, so you're thinking about what that is. Maybe you did it through ignorance. Maybe you didn't know. Or maybe you were just weak at that moment when you should have been strong. That's what you're focusing on. Or maybe it was deliberate, because there are a lot of times when God does allow a way of temptation for us, but you know what? We go ahead and do it because I want that 30 seconds of pleasure. So maybe it was deliberate fault. So then maybe it was someone that we sinned against, but when it all comes down to it, we sinned against God. When we do sin, what's that picture that's coming up for you in this conversation? So now you are truly sorry. See, when I'm singing this song, I picture myself and I'm down on my knees like this, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm truly sorry. But because of his love, I get to turn back up to him once again. Father of the nations, you who bless the poor. What comes up for you for this part? Well, for me, I'm thinking about all those people in Haiti who have been killed, tragedies. It seems like year after year, something always hits Haiti. And I'm just thinking about the world, and I'm thinking about the Father who controls all these things, who bless the poor. Now, when we get to the next part, those that have been in the James class, this kind of pricks us a little bit, right? When it talks about if we said to the person who needs something, oh, go in peace, be warmed, I'll pray for you, but I have the means, but I don't help you, right? It says, let your joy be turned to mourning. And he gives a command to those that are rich. You need to be weeping. Why? Well, here we come. We're servants of the endless want and drive for more. We always just want more. And even us in our what we think of as poverty in this land, we still want and drive for more. So think about that. How does that reflect? We've made our greed a virtue while the children starve. So maybe just think of that. What picture comes up for you? That doesn't mean that it's bad to do nice things or good things for yourself, but in general, think about, is that an attitude? It's like, you know what? Yeah, you know, I have been putting a little bit too much emphasis, whatever, on money or whatever it is, while there are people around me who are in need. So now the plea is, come change our joy to sorrow till our lives reflect your heart. All right, so now that you've got your picture in mind, so what we're going to do, we're going to engage that occipital lobe. We're going to give God all four lobes of our brain at this time. We're going to sing this song that's in a minor key. Remember tenors, you get the do, do, ti, la. See, here's the cool thing about when we talk about, we all know why we sing, right? It's like we're commanded to sing, so we sing. But the question I want to ask you is, what motivates you to sing? That's a different thing. What motivates you to sing? And every time you sing, it should be something different. So many times I hear people say, oh, you know what? Leave your garbage and stuff outside the door when you come in here. And I usually say, don't do that. Bring it in here with you and lay it at the cross. And the reason I say that, because when you bring it in here and lay it at the cross, when you go back out, you're going to look at it from a different perspective. If you just leave it outside, when you come back outside, you're going to look at it the same way that you did before. But if you bring it in here and lay it at the cross, lay it at the feet of Jesus, and pour it out, you're going to have a different perspective when you go out and you meet it. So worshiping with heart. We're going to have a word of prayer, then we're going to dismiss, and then those that need to go to their classes will go to their classes, and then we'll continue with the next part. Let us bow together. Oh, Father God, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, the provider of all, we are so thankful for this opportunity that you have given us to come before your throne. Thank you for this opportunity to learn how you created us and how you created music in such a way, Heavenly Father, that we can worship you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. Heavenly Father, help us to take these things and apply them to our lives. Help us to be better servants for you. And help us, Heavenly Father, in all that we do, that it might be pleasing with you. Heavenly Father, as we continue to open our hearts. Pray, Heavenly Father, that these might be things that we might use throughout the rest of our life. Heavenly Father, as we draw nearer to you. In Christ's name we pray.